This summer, Triple M rocks Test cricket.
Kerry O'Keefe, Ishigua, 2 for 207 Australia. We had the pink cap handover start of the day, which always happens day three, and English players had the English cap in the pink version to hand over to Glenn McGrath. I'm not sure it helped Johnny Bairstow out particularly. Ish. That's as ferocious a ranger as you'll ever see.
Pink on red?
Not really good. No? I mean, you're the fashionista amongst us. What do you think?
Sometimes when you have contrasting colours, it can actually be quite a good thing.
What do you think with Johnny? Did it work or not?
I think Johnny looks good no matter what he's wearing, to be honest.
Did Colin Miller once pink up his hair for this test?
He went blue once, I remember.
I know he went blue. Did he go pink one year?
May have. In on back.
That was a good look.
Yeah. He lost his way a bit there, Funk, didn't he? Now a resident of Las Vegas.
Very good, Mo.
Is he?
Yep.
His kind of town, I think.
Oh, yeah. Beef, what's this day hold for you, please, after you finished with us? What are you getting up to?
Probably go to the gym.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Sit and watch cricket till 6:30?
Yeah. Taking the notes.
Taking notes.
Like you are?
Yeah.
is that because... So you don't forget?
Yeah, at my age you do forget. People say, oh, he's so off the cuff, but I'm reading it. And, Beefy, that is the big contrast between you and Steve Smith. That you talked about his patience. He's disappointed when the umpire calls time. You couldn't wait for that call, could you? I love that call.
Yeah, a day's work's a day's work. Yeah. Let's move on. Yeah.
Time, gentlemen, please. That's it.
He probably gets up at 7 and has a net.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He only got engaged because she was good at throwdowns.
That was an amazing story, wasn't it? Absolutely an amazing story. And she could operate the bowling machine.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a good reason for a divorce, I'd have thought.
135k, darling, yes. Locked in, darling. Oh. Yorkers, no problems.
No, I think mine might have been head high beamers if it had been Kath had been in charge of it.
Yeah,
at about 140 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Of course, I love you.
Oh, again. Ryan Botham with us, as is Kerry O'Keefe. And it's hot, so the drinks are necessary.
And getting hotter tomorrow, they tell me.
Yeah.
My taxi driver, always get you want your information, go with the taxi driver.
Yeah.
They told me that Pat Cummins hadn't played a test match on this ground.
Yeah.
MCG, the taxi driver down there. No, it was... it's telling me it's 42 tomorrow, he said.
Yeah. It's tipped. So there'll be drinks every 20 minutes right there. This would be tough for England, still in the field.
No. Scott, can you imagine what would happen in England if it was 42 degrees?
Mate, it's disaster warnings when it gets to 27, isn't it? Don't go out in this. It's 27 today.
It would dead set melt England, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
42.
Yeah. Oh.
What about all the to and froms in our pub? It's full of them, isn't it? The tour groups and everything.
Yeah, there are a lot of them.
I don't think they're ready for a day of 42.
Well, we'll see them tomorrow night. So you'll see what a lobster looks like when it's been boiled.
Oh,
I can guarantee you.
Oh.
It's not macho to put sun cream on.
No. That's too hot, 42. That is too hot. I don't care what anyone says.
The worst is when they go for surfs and they're dumpers. Mm. They think that it's just going to break normally.
Yep.
And you say, hey, oh, this is fun. Next minute, they're being carried on by the lifeguards back with a neck brace.
Anderson to Smith. We get no run. Just sort of sucks them up and deposits them into the sand.
Love this surfing, keeper. Yeah, good luck with that. Beware of dumpers.
Yeah, well... You can only get affected by them if you're daft enough to go in the water. Yeah. There, aren't you?
Have you had a surf this summer?
No.
Do you anticipate?
No.
No.
Over
sharks?
Here, I check the bath when I get in.
Beefy, have you ever played a round where Stableford Golf where there's been an Eastern Brown on the tee and you've just said, I'm wiping the hole?
Do you know, I'll tell you what they did to me in Africa. Because everyone knows, like, snakes meet. Right. No, don't go on. They found a dead snake, right? Mm. And they put it in the hole, right?
Oh.
And the other guys that I'm playing with, they're in on this. So I arrive. I said, I'll get the flag, pull the flag out, and they wrapped around the flag. And the snake came. I absolutely. That's when you find out adrenaline's brown.
And, mate, when you came as a teenager to play, that was your phobia then in 1977, mate, or something, wasn't it? And 40 years later, you're still not quite over it, are you?
I wish it was only 40 years, but yeah, no, no, I'm not over it. I'm nowhere near over it.
Really?
I've stepped on so close to stepping on them. At times, here in Africa.
So even a Titleist Pro V into the rough here.
Adios.
I'll hit three off the tee.
Yeah. Free drop. That's right. You've got to go and play Barnboogle. Go down there. That's fantastic. And you get there, and there's a couple of holes where if you hit it into the rough, anything above this high, it's an automatic free drop.
Free drop.
Because you are in Tiger City.
Yeah. No, they're there.
You stay.
They're there.
I don't know what's more dangerous at Barnboogle. The snakes in the rough, or the owner Richard Sattler in the bar afterwards.
Richard, he's a lovely guy, isn't he?
Oh,
lovely
man.
Family.
Great family. Steve-O, the young bloke.
Yeah.
The girls are beautiful, but what happens is you get into the magnificent bar afterwards down there at Skull, and if Big Rich wanders in, that's the end of your night.
Really?
Oh yeah, he is a serious player.
If there was a red-bellied black wrapped round a bottle of Grange, Beefy, would you be tempted to break your phobia?
No, but I'd get to find someone that would remove it very quickly. The only person, like, one of the funniest things I saw in these, it was in a T20 game, Nick Knight.
Yeah.
And it's a free hit, right? No, Nick Knight, free hit, bowled, left it.
Astounding. Good old Nick.
And does he get much stick about that?
He left free.
Shouldered arms.
Didn't fancy it.
Mick, you've been having some interesting dreams, I hear.
Sorry?
Well, I did have it. I woke up and I had a dream that I woke up and I went to, my head hurt, went to the mirror, and during my sleep, someone decapitated my head and then sewn it back on. Anyway.
Wasn't a horse head in the bed.
Two slips in the gully.
How can we analyse that dream? I don't know.
Somebody give us a call.
Maybe it's telling yourself to have a good hard look at yourself in the mirror, maybe?
Well, Nellie Meadow suggested it was due to underconfidence because I was being undermined on air by Ishikura.
I can't remember undermining you on air, Mick.
Let's go to the tape.
It definitely hasn't happened.
It's terrible.
I have to get the third umpire and have a listen.
That's right. We're having this conversation with Isha yesterday, Bing, about all the games the English have invented and they're now no longer any good at. And we started with cricket, of course, and we went to soccer. We threw a few others. We missed a few.
Tennis. Darts.
Well, darts. I'm not surprised.
We're good at darts.
Is a very...
Phil Taylor, Phil the Power.
Knowledgeable sage when it comes to the world of darts, which is surprising.
Speaking of darts, have you ever met Simon Whitlock, Brett?
Have you ever been in a room with him?
No, I haven't.
Unbelievable.
I should grow a goatee. But
you are the absolute spitting image.
Well, there's been a lot of discussion on Twitter over the last probably 2 years and people saying they were separated at birth, and he's obviously the wonderful Australian darts player, Simon Whitlock. And he actually sent me a dartboard.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And what did you send him?
A pair of pads.
That's a pair of pads.
Very nice.
I mean, I whipped up.
What would happen, do you reckon, in a parallel universe if you were a darts player and he was a cricket player?
180.
How is your darts?
Horrible.
Now, you know what you should do? You should organise a game of darts with your mates for money. And then say, I'm going to the toilet, leave the room, send him in.
Hustler.
All of a sudden, whackata, 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 you take the chockies.
Perfect. Maybe get Gillette to give him a quick little shave and
it's like
he'll be good to go.
It's like darts version of the fine cotton affair. So darts, you're okay. That tennis, there's another game you invented, no good at.
I'll tell you what they are good at, is drinking.
Drinking?
Andy Murray's pretty good at tennis.
Yeah, he's Scottish.
What else, Mick?
badminton, ended that. They can't win anything. Table
I said
tennis.
Mixed doubles. They're we're good at that.
Mixed doubles.
What about, is rugby union in there? I'm pretty sure we beat you at that.
Oh, hang on. No, it's not there. I'm not sure you invented that. Oh, rugby, yes, you did. 1871, yes. But you still, it's still been usurped by the Southern Hemisphere. It's another one you've had to kiss goodbye. Lawn bowls. One of that in ages. Bungee jumping. Dear, oh, dear.
Is that even a sport? Mick, I've just got up the description of your dream.
This is my dream where I was decapitated and had my head reattached.
Like attacking dreams, if you dream of decapitation, it could mean an area in your life where you feel vulnerable, criticised or self-critical.
This press box, right here, ground zero. Main culprit, Gua.
I'm the nicest person in the box, aren't I?
I think she just made that up.
I think she did too.
Just having a look at this article on decapitation.
You really
here
are.
Here we go. No, here we go.
You know Frozen, Let It Go?
It says, decapitation may be asking us where we are in our lives and our emotions and logic are not in balance and invite us to rejoin the areas of our life that seem separate or disjointed. Are you feeling separate?
I am. I am right now.
I reckon with each doing that read there, it could almost like, if you put that tone on, it could, you know, when you're falling asleep at night, it's a nice sort of relaxing tone.
That's right.
Graham Swan with us, as is Kerry O'Keefe.
And it's a wilting heat out there. How would the boys be? I know that your national newspapers scream, stay inside if it gets to 27.
No, it's, I reckon 28, 29 is your cut-off point before people start keeling over and dropping dead in England.
How will they handle 38 tomorrow out here?
Praying to Smith and defending, no run.
Well, one thing we do as a nation on the whole...
Drink.
...is drink. So the Barmy Army will walk cruise 38 degrees. That'll be nothing to them. I fear for the older generation.
Yep.
The older cricket tours.
Yeah.
They've come out here. They best get in the misters. I've got a word about those demisters, by the way. So these magnificent misting machines that are behind the back of the pavilion here... Mm. That they're about, what, 4 metres in the air, and they spray mist down, that the wind immediately then blows up in the air, so you get no mist whatsoever. It's the biggest waste of water I've ever seen in my life. Hasn't anyone thought of putting them head height? I'm more than happy to be wronged on this, but I stood under it 15 minutes yesterday and got about 30 seconds worth of mist.
Really?
And the rest of it just floated off. Chris Tremlett would be all right if he put his hands up.
Crane. Mason Crane trying to forge a platform. And, you know, Swanee, that's the problem. If you look at him, he only forces a forward press 2 out of 6. He's got to lift that number to 4 or 5 out of 6. And
he will do.
Yeah.
If you watch Shane Warne's test debut, I bet he wasn't getting people pressing forward 5 out of 6, was he?
You know, he wasn't. Yeah. I was here for that.
I've been impressed with Mason Crane. Interestingly, Moeen Ali was doing a interview on TV this morning for our BT. England don't have a full-time spinning coach, you know. So they've got, at the minute, they've got Mason Crane making his test debut, Moeen Ali. They haven't got a coach to coach him.
Who has Mushtaq Ahmed?
Saklay Mushtaq. Mushtaq Ahmed was my coach when he's played. Greatest coach I've ever known.
You like
never, ever taught technically.
Really?
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Zwani. Does not matter if you're bowling badly. The sun will come up tomorrow. Get out, man.
Mick Malloy. Hello, Mickey.
Well, I've just loosened the belt after a very big luncheon engagement.
What'd you have, mate?
Well done, all.
Does your belt go that loose?
There we go.
Wow.
Game on. To the offside.
It's like putting the headphones on and getting punched in the face, isn't it? It's a real welcome back. What is wrong with you, woman? I'll post that picture of you sleeping on the box floor that I took at lunch, which I promised
that
I wouldn't.
Me.
If you want to start that kind of antics. Now, we were speaking earlier about a nasty dream I'd had last night, but I understand this to be true. This is filtered back to me from the back of the box, that you have a recurring dream, Ishigura.
Well, I used to have a cricket dream.
A cricket dream.
And I'd like to throw this to Brett in a second.
Okay.
I used to have the dream of going out to the middle, and I'd be out there literally ready to face up to a delivery, and I wouldn't have my bat, my gloves, or my pads. And I'd notice at the last second is... Dude. But then I had the other one as well, which is just turning up late for everything. So turning up late to a day's play or...
Triple M.
Yeah, Triple M.
That's not a dream for me. That's a lifestyle choice. So you're out in the pitch. At what point, as you're taking guard, do you realise, well, I don't have a bat
literally,
or gloves
or my pants? I start to panic and think there's about 15,000 people, which that's when I realised I was in a dream.
So what do you have on?
I have cricket whites on.
Right.
I'm not naked,
right.
Yeah.
Well, that's disappointing. I was taking that to a whole other area. But
Bing, you must have had some in your time.
This has actually happened to me, which is probably like a nightmare. I was playing a grade game and we've gone over for some breakfast and, you know, me batting at number 10, you know, 8 wickets down, there's no issues, right?
Sure.
'Cause we've gone out, it's a brand new day. No one's been out, so I've got plenty of time. So I come back from breakfast and there's 7 wickets down, which means I'm in next.
You're in next.
And I've got, like, literally my training clothes on. I've got no whites on.
Yeah.
As I've gone in to pat up, I hear, yeah, got him! And I'm in. And you've got 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So this is now the nightmare of a dream coming true. So I'm just getting, everyone's trying to pad me up, and I run out and I've got my helmet in my hand. I've got, you know, the box, the pads are on, everything's there. And I get out, and as I go to put my gloves on, I realise I've got 2 right-handed gloves.
Oh, no.
I've signalled to the dressing room.
You've got a choice, haven't you?
No, I've looked up to the one person that was probably up on the balcony and said, you know, can you bring out some new gloves where you get the signal where you do, like, the pincers?
Sure.
And I'm getting sledged by the team going, mate, you haven't even faced the ball yet, and you're calling for bloody gloves. Anyway, so they finally find a pair of gloves and they bring in a left-handed glove. I take centre and I'm still getting sledged. Bowler comes in and I get my middle stump knocked out first ball.
Oh, no.
See you, champ.
That's it. Thanks for coming.
That is the definition of a cricket nightmare.
6-minute golden duck.
Yeah.
I'm just having a look back through the Triple M commentary box. Ishigua is on her feet after being flat out for about 45 minutes. I've just got the question... Who's more in the hurt locker, M. Malloy or Igua? Well, I haven't got a direct answer just yet. Who's more in the hurt locker, M. Malloy or Igua?
Gua.
I'll have an answer for you directly. I think it might be Ish. We might have just dusted her off. Taken 5 tests to put an end to her, but that's happened. Oh, Ali in. Here's Ish.
She just popped in.
Isn't she just?
Very
now,
good, Moser.
You don't know this, Ish, but I got some nice photographical evidence of the state you were in the back of the box. I'm going to show it to our man.
Oh,
B,
dear.
Just have a go at her. What sort of nick is that?
I was just resting my head for a couple of minutes.
For our English Rose.
Little did I know.
This beautiful girl who comes out from England to help us broadcast, and she's in an awful mess.
Can't get anything past you, JB.
No. No. That's the state she was in last night, B, and you were there too, of course.
She's getting a few hits on Twitter, that one, already.
No, it hasn't gone around. We've been broadcasting. So let me ask you this question, you two. Stewie Broad can go back in time and have that moment again. Does he walk and avoid the hatred that he's copped for the next decade or however long it is, or does he go, nah, stuff it, I'm going to stand my ground?
Knowing him, I think he would do the same thing again.
Yeah, he knew that Australia had no reviews. It was a sort of England v Australia thing.
Oh, no.
No.
The grief it would save him if he just turned and walked.
Yeah, no.
You don't think?
No.
I reckon I'm...
Good question.
It's a good question nonetheless. You reckon he'd walk?
Well, I am often termed a weak ass, but I reckon I might just go, you know what, for the pounding the Poms have given me for the last 8 years, if I have that moment again, I'm walking off.
It's a turning point in his career, isn't he? I mean, he hasn't faced a full ball since Australia.
He has not, and the grief he's copped over the fence and at the rubbity.
Oh.
That's the other thing. He can't go for a pot at the front bar anywhere in Australia without copping it.
Oh, and there would be no greater crap in the world.
That's
that.
Yeah. I mean, when Kevin Chappell, the American golfer, teed off in the New Zealand Open and they announced him at the first tee, the crowd booed. And he couldn't understand it.
I did.
On the tee, Kevin Chappell, boo!
Yes.
What are you
doing? Teddy had to say, look, I'll tell you why they booed.
Again goes Anderson into Sean Marsh. That got a little big on him. He managed to ride it into the ground. No run. All right, there's another question.
Yeah.
Greg Chappell has that moment again.
Oh, he definitely asked Trevor to bowl over.
Overarm.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
You'd have to think that.
Definitely. Hey, Greg's apologised a million times. Yeah. It was a moment of madness. Mm. He regrets it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nah. But Broady, I think, would still stand.
Different. Speaking about Greg Chappell, he's just heading over to New Zealand with the Australian under-19 team for the World Cup. Mm. Wandering back into the Lions' den.
They will be waiting at the airport.
Security. They've got to move on, haven't
they?
They haven't moved on. No,
at all. Even though they beat us in the Bledisloe every year for the last 20 years, they still haven't moved on.
As punishment.
That's it.
That's it. Well, you were saying, Skull, that he goes over there for lunch.
Trevor Chappell's invited over for the celebratory lunch.
Trevor Chappell.
And they put him and Brian McKechnie up there. Can you imagine the different receptions?
Very good, Mason!
Unusual that it... Well, it's not unusual, but if an older brother generally asks you to do something, you do it. It's the custom.
Yeah.
The style of the time.
For fear of a pounding.
Trevor's the messenger, isn't he?
You can't shoot the messenger.
Don't worry about shooting the messenger. He's been riddled with bullets. He's like Sonny Corleone at the toll gate in The Godfather. That's how many bullets he's got.
I know what you did. Kiss on the lips.
Can you imagine at that commemorative lunch introducing Brian McKechnie, the New Zealand number 11, thunderous applause, and also on stage Trevor Chappell? You'd get a golf clap, wouldn't you?
Do they tell me they don't do Q&A with the audience?
Oh,
not even that. Well, I think your golf clap's generous is again that aborted delivery strike. That'd just be silence, crickets.
Yeah.
Spin effects.
What was it, 1982? They really do have to move on, the Kiwis.
I've enjoyed Sydney in pink though. It looks great.
It's great, isn't it?
It does look great.
Great join this.
The Barmy Army all joined in memorably as well. Well done, you lot.
Explain to me that song they sing. I like it. The cricket, the up tempo one. Everywhere we go, everywhere we go. Is that what they're singing?
Yeah.
Everywhere we go, everywhere we go, everywhere we go. That's what it sounds like.
When the Barmies sing, everywhere we go.
Yeah. I know. Nice.
Everywhere we go.
I like that one.
Yeah. Like their tea time rallying call. They sing it all at the same time, just before tea.
Nice. Is it based on any other song, or is it...
No. Well, they're all based on different songs at football grounds.
Okay.
So every club in England has got a whole plethora of football songs that's mostly funny. Some that go back like 150 years when the club side. So like West Ham have one called I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. it's got nothing to do with...
No, what do you think? Michael Jackson. Probably enough for me, Swanee. Let's get Ishin, put a bit of class into this broadcast.
Hey, being with the Barmy Army, something you had to put up with when you played, or were they an addition to the game after you finished?
Well, I used to love it. I used to love being in front of the Barmy Army, whether it's over in England or here in Australia, and just the grief you cop from them. It's brilliant. You know, some of the stuff I can't repeat on air, but...
No. Was some of it genuinely funny? Or
hilarious. Yeah. And I'll be laughing my head off. And I'll always sledge him back, too. Yeah, good fun. You know, they'll be saying stuff like convicts and all that and hopping into us. And I said, well, thank you very much. You know, how silly are you guys? Well, I'd say it a different way, but I'll keep it clean for Triple M.
Radio.
How silly are you guys? You... Living in your place is an absolute paradise.
Could you hear individuals who you could then reply to, or was it just a blur?
You could, and it's always best to pick one guy out, single one guy out.
Did they have the trumpet player?
Yep. Had that.
He could be wearing, couldn't he, after a long day?
I think it's Jimmy, the main dude.
When I did the Barmy Army show, they loved you so much because you used to go down and banter with them. You'd always look at one bloke and pay him out.
Well, there was one bloke who was paying me out about my figures, and they weren't... I think I brought the 100 up. And, he was a voluptuous lad.
Cuddly.
He was cuddly, and I went down and sledged him. And I was walking back from the hotel, or to the hotel after a feed... Saw him in the pub and they all went off, hey, like this. And I went in and I bought him a beer.
Oh, that's good.
Said, there you go, mate. Sorry about the comment, but it's true. And he thanked me, and the next morning they loved me. I was down in front and they were just cheering the whole time. So,
And did you have to, I know selfies weren't a thing, but did you have to sign a lot of bats and shirts and autograph books? Or?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. But other times too, you know, you'd go down there and they would take a hat down for you to sign, and you'd go to sign and they'd pull the pen back.
Oh, the oldies, the goodies.
Yep.
Oh, I love the day you perhaps mentioning a man perhaps didn't have a big appendage. And the Barmy Army loved you after that.
It's just not cricket. The Discovery Holiday Parks. Triple M rocks the Ashes. Triple M rocks.